So he says, no, I want to meet these two people. He said, these two people, they live next to the Rawdah Mubarak. Their room is just outside. So they took the king and they went there. So they seen that these are the very same two people that were seen in a dream. And in that room, there were kitabs that were kept there. Islamic dini literature. And a lot of wealth was kept there. So they looked around the room, but they don't see anything that is harmful here. So then the king seen there was a chatai, grass mat. So he said, let me pick up the grass mat. So when he picked up the grass mat, under the grass mat there was a massive rock, a boulder, heavy boulder. So he told his people, pick this boulder up. So they picked it up. When they picked the boulder up, under there was a tunnel. And that tunnel had come onto the verge of the Mubarak body of Nabi Kareem. They were digging. At night, they used to dig every night, and they came to this point. So the king was very upset. He said, who are you people? He started hitting them. So then they said that we are Christians. Mm. But how they portrayed themselves as Muslims, pious people. How have you come here? So he said, no, certain king had sent us. He gave us a lot of wealth. And this is the money that we're spending on the people. And he promised us that if you can remove the Mubarak body of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then much more wealth than this we will give you. So then the king of that time, Nuruddin Zangi, he poured lead. They dug first to the bottom. To such a point, they came to the point where there was water. And then he poured lead on all four sides of the Rawdah Mubarak. And this place was then sealed off at that juncture. So how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had made hifazat and had protected Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So today also, if we hold onto that teachings, onto the way of Nabi Alaihi Wasallam, hold onto durood, then in this is our salvation as well. In one incident that comes to mind, which Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, that this is under another subject, Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned this. He said that a particular person, he had passed away, and he left a massive estate. So he had a small son, and the one of the very good friends of the deceased was one of the ministers of the king. I can't remember if it was the time of Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the ruler at that time. Perhaps it was his zamana. So there was a fear that the family people, they're going to usurp this money. So the minister wanted to protect this wealth. So he said, you know what, I need to take this boy to the king and tell the king to take charge of the affairs. So he took this boy. Now as he took the boy and they were walking along, so he told the boy, look, when we come to the king, and if he asks you this question, then this is the answer you must give. And if he asks you this question, then this is the answer that you must give. So he was teaching the boy as they were going along, training him up. So the boy was one sharper, he was one more intelligent than the minister. So he told the minister in the end, he says, what if the king asked me a question that you didn't tell me about? Then what answer must I give? So the minister realized, he said, no, this is an intelligent boy. He's sharp enough, he'll be able to answer for himself. So when they reached the king was in a pool, in his bath, what we say swimming pool in today's time. So he was in his bath. So while he was in that bath, taking his swim or his bath or whatever it might be, so he said that, the minister said that this is the boy and this is what I brought him for, etc. So he grabbed the hand of this boy. He grabbed his hand from the bath, from that pool. And he said, I'm going to drown you. So that boy started laughing. So the king said, he's foolish. This is a foolish boy. He won't be able to take care of his father's estate. Because he's too foolish, he's laughing. When I'm telling you I'm going to drown him, he's laughing. So the boy said, did you even ask me why I'm laughing? So he said, why are you laughing? So he says, a person that got his hand in the hand of the king, can you imagine any harm coming to that boy? He says, royal security he's got. But no harm can ever come to him. So here, Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he draws a point from here. And he says, that when a person, he makes dua, as I said, this was another subject, came to my mind. Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that when a person makes dua, and he says, Ahlullah, particular, when they make dua, he says, then the tears come out at that time when a person is making dua. So he says, Ahlullah, so particular, that those tears, they rub it on the face. They don't let it just go, just wipe it off with some tissue or something. They rub it on the face, rub it on the hands. Whichever part of the body they can rub it, they rub those tears. When it came out, because of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, or whether it came out in the love of Allah Ta'ala, those tears are rubbed. Why? Because the fire of Jahannam won't touch that. So here Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that do you think that when Allah Ta'ala is going to protect, if the face, if all those tears were on the face, and the face will be protected from the fire of Jahannam, or those tears came onto the hand, and those hands are going to be protected from the fire of Jahannam, if Allah Ta'ala then let the remainder of the body go into the fire of Jahannam? He says it's impossible. Says if the king, the boy has so much of i'timad and trust on the king, that my hand is in your hand, so I am safe. So imagine that Allah Ta'ala protects the face, protects the hand, or the or whichever limb of the body, and inshallah through this, the remainder of the body will also be protected. So here also, the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam, this durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so great, that a person just attaches himself to it, we find that his hifazat will be made. Which Hazrat Hakim Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi says in one form, he says, agar pairvi karegi sunnat nabawi ki ye ummat, that is, ummat has to only follow the sunnat, hold on to the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tufan se nikal jayega phir uska safina, that this ship of ours, we in danger throughout the world, we are drowning, whichever part of the world the Muslims are, they are in some problem and some difficulty. He says, your ship will come out of that danger, only hold on to this much, just on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just on Durood Sharif our work will take place. How many people's Islam have taken place just on the recitation of Durood Sharif? And what is Kasrat-e Durood? Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi said, Kasrat-e Durood is 300 times. 300 times a person is Durood Sharif, this is regarded as reciting excessive Durood Sharif upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our Hazrat explains, he says, that what is in actual fact, what is this Durood Sharif? He says, this Durood Sharif is actually the favors of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam upon us. We have to say Jazakallah for that also. And he says, how do we say Jazakallah? He says, this is it, Durood Sharif. That we thank Nabi alayhi salam, particularly on the day of Jummah. That is the ibadat of the day of Jummah. That at least 300 times a person, he thanks Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by sending this Durood Sharif. So here he says that this place of Salah, that this is where you will send the gift of Durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or parna tashahud ka muqarrar hai. And the recitation of the tashahud has also been fixed for this place. Now we explain that what is the tashahud? Istara par. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. Now what is at-tahiyyat? At-tahiyyat refers to all our verbal ibadat. That whatever verbal ibadat we made, whether it is a zikr of Allah Ta'ala, whether it is a recitation of Quran, whatever verbal ibadat we make, this is all for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat. And after that is your physical ibadat, whatever ibadat we do with our body. So this ibadat is also for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. And tayyibat refers to our monetary ibadat, whether a person is giving zakat, whether a person is giving nafil sadaqah, or is spending in some madrasa, whatever it might be. That all ibadat is for Allah Ta'ala, whether it is verbal, whether it is physical, or tayyibat, whether it is monetary ibadat, all this is for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Here also, that peace be upon you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be upon you. And the blessings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be upon you. So here in the at-tahiyyat, next is salam upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then as-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And peace be upon us and the righteous servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Here on many occasions, the Hazrat explains, in regards to tahajjud, this point is brought about there in the tahajjud salah. That a person that reads tahajjud salah, there are four favors for that person mentioned in the hadith. The first is da'bu salihin. That tahajjud salah is the way of salihin, of the righteous people. All the righteous people, this is their habit, this is their way that they perform tahajjud salah. So he has to explain that Allah Ta'ala, so to say, Allah Ta'ala has a register of all the salihin. Any person that reads tahajjud namaz, his name comes automatically in that register. You are among the salihin. And the tahajjud namaz, this is not that it's necessary that a person has to wake up early in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Ramadan is easy. We all wake up for sehri. So to read 2 rakats tahajjud is very easy in Ramadan. But in the months of summer, and if it's not the Mubarak month of Ramadan, then we know what is the condition. Generally it becomes difficult for us, for a person to wake up for Fajr at that time when it's 4 o'clock, 20 past 4 in the morning, becomes difficult. So here a person, he can make his tahajjud even after Isha namaz. After Isha namaz, after the 4 faras of Isha, and the 2 sunnat of Isha, the time of tahajjud has come in. A person can read tahajjud. Although reading tahajjud in the morning, how was it explained? He said reading tahajjud 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning is like biryani. And to read tahajjud after Isha, this is like eating dal and rice. So he says, now a person, he says, no, I'm going to eat biryani. I don't want dal and rice. So he says, that it could happen that you sleep and you oversleep. So you missed your biryani. And your dhar and rice that you were supposed to get, dhar roti, that also you missed now. So he says that what you do, eat your dhar and roti now. Your dhar roti, dhar rice, whatever, eat it now. And then you wake up in the morning, then have your biryani also. So you got double. Or Hazrat gives another example. He says, when a youngster, when he wants a cell phone, so he says, how he starts with the cell phone? First he goes for the starter pack, prepaid cell phone. Then he says, after he's got prepaid, he doesn't stay on prepaid. Where he moves? From there he moves to contract. So he says that exactly the same way, the tahajjud after Isha namaz, the two rakat, that is prepaid. And then from there you increase, you progress, then you come on to the tahajjud of the morning, that is now you came on to contract. But he says, anyone that's on contract, you don't downgrade. Nobody downgrades. Everyone has to upgrade. So he says, upgrade. Don't downgrade. If don't leave that out and say, now I'm only going to read the tahajjud after the Isha namaz. So the four faradz of Isha and the two sunnah, that is Isha. Isha is ended. Then you read two rakats tahajjud namaz. The witr salah is a separate namaz. Witr salah is a completely separate namaz altogether. For a person that is sure that he's going to wake up for tahajjud, he mustn't read his Isha, his witr namaz after Isha. He must read his witr namaz last, in the early part of the morning, after he reads all his tahajjud namaz, then he can read his witr namaz. But we generally not sure. So because we are not sure, for us, we must read our witr namaz after Isha. And then if we wake up in the morning, then we can read our tahajjud namaz at that time. So the point I was explaining is da'abu salihin. This is the way of the salihin. So your name came in that register. Now look, all the people in the world, how many Muslims there are in the world, all are reading namaz. And whoever is reading namaz, in his namaz he is reading at-tahiyyat. Nobody's namaz is free of at-tahiyyat. So in namaz, what dua he is making? As-salamu alayna, that peace be upon us. Wa ala ibadillahi salihin, and upon the righteous servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now your name is already in the register. You're the righteous servant of Allah because you're reading tahajjud. So what happens? The whole world that is reading namaz, they are making dua for you. And every moment in the world, somewhere and somewhere, adhan is taking place. So namaz is taking place somewhere and somewhere in the world. Somewhere right now is fajr time. Here it is zohar time. Somewhere asr namaz has been read. Somewhere in the world, maghrib namaz has been read. Somewhere in the world, isha namaz has been read. Wherever people are reading namaz, because our name is in this register, we get this. The second benefit of tahajjud, very quickly I'll just mention it, whilst we at it, is mukaffiratun lissayyi'at. That the gunas that a person committed by reading tahajjud namaz, obviously this refers to the minor gunas, then those gunas are wiped out. Tahajjud will wipe it out. The third benefit is manhiyatun anil ism. Many people say, I can't give up gunas. I can't give up. So here it is mentioned in the hadith, this is a powerhouse. This will help a person to stay away from gunas. For example, you have a power station. So now that power station, what happens? It cannot convey electricity or power maybe at a very long distance. Maybe 20, 30 kilometers is difficult. So what they have a substation in between somewhere. So now it becomes easy to boost that energy. So exactly the same way we understand it here. That tahajjud namaz, a man that will read tahajjud namaz, this will assist a person to stay away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. So da'abu salihin, manhiyatun anil ith, mukaffiratun lissayyi'at. And the fourth thing, qurbatul lakum inda rabbikum. That you will gain the closeness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Like as I give an example here, he says that a person, he has to catch a flight. He's got first class ticket. So when he gets, when he's got a first class ticket, what happens? They come and pick you up from your home. You don't even have to take your car to the airport. They pick you up. And then they take you to airport. When they take you to the airport, they take you to the VIP lounge. They tell you, you relax there. You don't worry. We will check in your luggage. We will get your boarding pass. And we will come and we will give it to you. You enjoy whatever is there in the VIP lounge, free of charge for you. Have whatever you want. When it's time for your ticket now, or it's time for you to board, then you get up and you go to your flight. And when you go to your flight also, those that are first class ticket holders, you go in first. You go and sit down. The rest of the people are in the queue. Exactly the same way when you got the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, these people will be under the arsh of Allah. Whole insaniyat, all of mankind, everybody is going through reckoning, hisab, kitab. But those that read tahajjud, you got VIP on the day of Qiyamah. Sit under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, enjoy the shelter under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. As it says, where there's jaha saya hai, wahan hisab nahi hoga. Where there is shade, where is the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, no hisab, no reckoning there. There is direct green light, go straight to Jannat. Or jaha hisab hai, wahan saya nahi hoga. And where there is reckoning, there won't be any shade of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us his shade on that day of Qiyamah. So here, as-salamu alayna, so a person is making dua that peace be upon us. and upon the righteous servants of Allah. And then a person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I testify that there is no deity except Allah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and I testify that verily Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So try and keep this meaning also. It's very simple. The translation of at-tahiyyat is very, very simple, but how great it is. So, parna at-tahiyyat ka qaida pehle aur dusre mein wajib hai. Now, to read the at-tahiyyat, if it's a 4 rakat namaz, after 2 rakat, the sitting posture, that's the first qaida. To read it there, and similarly to read it in the last posture, on the 4th rakat, it is wajib. To read the at-tahiyyat, to read it is wajib. Aur baithna qaida pichle mein baqadar parna at-tahiyyat ke farz hai. And in the second sitting posture, in a 4 rakat namaz, on the 4th rakat when you sit down, to sit for the duration that it takes one to read at-tahiyyat, that is farz. To sit for the duration that it takes one to read at-tahiyyat, that is farz. But to read the at-tahiyyat in both the postures, that is a wajib of salah. Aur mazmoon qaada akhir ka is tarah samjhe. So he says, this subject matter, what we read in the final sitting posture, he says, how do you understand? Understand it this way. Ye waqt darbar ke rukhsat ka hai. The time has come now, where you will be leaving the court of Allah Ta'ala. You went to somebody's house, so you went there, initially you met him, you spent time with him, perhaps you stayed there for a few days. Now after your stay, you are going to leave that person's house. So when you leave that person's house, how do you meet that person, how do you thank him, and how they tell you, we enjoyed your coming, you come back again also, and you say, no, you must also come to our place. How we meet and then we leave. We don't just walk out of the person's house. So exactly the same way we came into the court of Allah Ta'ala to perform salah. Allah Ta'ala gave us this opportunity that now you communicate with me. After we communicated with Allah Ta'ala in that faraz namaz, which was 7, 8, 10 minutes, however long it was, or that nafil namaz, however long it was, we have communicated. Now we've come to that final posture, we are going to leave now. We are going to leave that salah. We are going to end that salah. So he says that you leave that salah in this way, ye waqt darbar ke rukhsat ka hai, assalamu alayka karke bahar aana chahe. Make salam to Allah Ta'ala now. You say assalamu alayka, and then you will come out of salah. Aur assalamu alayka us darbar ke sahib ka ye hai. Now what is the salam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? In our world, we make assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. But when you're going to make salam to Allah, how are you going to make salam and come out of that salah? So he says, the salam of Allah Ta'ala is this at-tahiyyat, where he's saying that all my verbal ibadat of Allah, this was for you. My physical ibadat was for you. My monetary ibadat, all this was from you, for you, Allah. Baad uske salam, Nabi alayhi salatu salam par hai. Then you make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam. The salah that we got, through whose sadqah we got this namaz? Who went for mi'raj? Who brought this namaz to us? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is through Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we got the salah. Think also in the end of salah, what it says, that just think a little bit when we're reading durood, that this salah that we got, then who did we get this salah from? This is from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at that time, we're supposed to make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Another example sometimes Hazrat used to give, he says, when a person, when you go on the internet, and you have to buy on the internet, so on the internet they have the shopping basket, and you fill into that basket, everything you fill. And as you fill into the basket, you see the amount also comes up. So much you have to pay, so much you have to pay, so much you have to pay. So that is the shopping basket. He says, when you come to the final sitting posture, think, Allah Ta'ala gave me this opportunity. And what have I filled in my basket? Have I spoiled this namaz? Or have I filled everything in this basket? Have I read a proper salah? So here, a person, we got the salah through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So durood upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what is that durood? Where we say, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So that is the salam of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then thirdly, he says, aur apne waaste aur sab bandon ke waaste is tarah hai. Now, you're going to make dua for yourself also. And for all the righteous people in the world, you're going to make dua for them as well. What is their salam? Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. So that is the salam that we so three salams that we are making here. The first salam we are making to Allah Ta'ala. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. Second to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the third for us and all the bandas. Assalamu alayna, that salam be upon us. And the righteous servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Baad uske tashahud hai. Now after you have sent salam, you have made salam to everyone. Now is the tashahud. This is the meaning. Where do we get the word tashahud from? This is it. Tashahud is this. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. This is tashahud. Where we testifying. So he says, baad iske tashahud hai. Aur tashahud kehte hai, gawai dene ko. Tashahud means to give evidence, to bear witness to something. وہ یہ ہے اشہد اللہ الہ الا اللہ, اٹ از دیٹ آئی بیئر وٹنس دیٹ دیئر از نو ڈائیٹ ایکسیپٹ اللہ, وہ اشہد ان محمد عبدہ و رسولہ, اینڈ آئی بیئر وٹنس دیٹ محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم از دا سرونٹ آف اللہ اینڈ دی رسول آف اللہ تبارک و تعالی. سو دس از دا تشہد. سو یہ وین وی آر کنفیسنگ وی آر سیئنگ دیٹ دیئر از نو ڈائیٹ ایکسیپٹ اللہ تعالی, اللہ تعالی از الون ان ہز ذات, ان ہز بینگ آلسو ہز الون, ان ہز صفات, ان ہز کوالٹیز, ان ہز ایٹریبیوٹس, اللہ تبارک و تعالی از الون. Then after namaz also this should remain within us. When a person, he goes through some problem or some difficulty or whatever it might be, then too his mind should go immediately towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When we're saying that Allah ta'ala is alone in his attributes, for example, Allah ta'ala is Razzaq. So now when a person is in need of risk, so at that time his attention should go towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As it explains, he says that these asma'ul husna that we have, the names of Allah ta'ala, all these attributes of Allah ta'ala, Razzaq, etc., he says this is like a keyboard that you got in front of you. And this keyboard that you got in front of you, he says, is like you press a particular button, so the green light is going to come on. If you press another button, it's attached to a blue light. The blue light will come on. You press another button, maybe a yellow light is going to come on. So he says exactly the same way. You have a need. Now you need, for example, risk. So what you do, you make zikr of that name of Allah, Ar-Razzaq. So he says that risk, that quality of risk of Allah Ta'ala, that will now be focused towards you. As it says that sometimes when you go for collection, another please explain this, he says that sometimes when we go for collection, so he says some person, you go to him and you tell him that, you know what, we're collecting for a masjid, we're collecting for the madrasa, and a person when you go, he must never be forced. Happily, Ismail Muftin Chast have also mentioned it. He says happily a person must give. It's not halal to take the wealth of a person except that he gives it with a happy heart. Then only you must take the wealth of a person. To force a person and take, that is not correct. So he says when you go to a person for collection or whatever the case may be, and at that time that person, he opens his heart, somebody will open his heart and he'll give you so much. So he says remember at that time the quality of Allah Ta'ala, Al-Mu'ati, the one that gives in abundance, that is now focused towards this man. That is why he's got the ability of giving. And when a person doesn't give, then Al-Mani'a, the person that holds back. So because of that, this person doesn't have the ability of giving at that particular juncture. So exactly this way also, when these attributes of Allah Ta'ala, these Asma'ul Husna, person has a need, he reads that name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. For example, there's no love in the family. So he takes the name of Allah Al-Wadud, the most loving. So now that quality of love will now be focused towards this family. And you'll find that love will be created in that home. For example, it's blown on the food. And then the family members, they eat that food. Or it's blown on the water and the family members drink that water. Now love is going to be created in that home. So that quality is now focused towards that family. So this quality of Razzaq also, that a person, his attention should go towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one that gives risk and sustenance. He's mentioned one particular incident regarding a Kurdi person. It was a person who was from the Kurdi tribe. It's written in one kitab, Nuzhatul Basatin. This incident is mentioned there. So this person, he was a robber. And he had a whole group of these bandits. Once they had gone out to rob. So while they had gone out, they had stopped at a particular place and they were just sitting under a tree. So while sitting under the tree, the leader of the bandit, he's noticing, he sees that there's three date trees. And one tree has dates on it and the other tree is bare. So, and there was a third one as well. So anyway, there was a bird, and the bird was going to the tree that had dates, and it was taking the dates, and it was going to the tree that had no dates, that was bare. And it leaves the date, and it comes back, and in this way it was transferring dates all the time. So he kept watching this for some time. After some time, he decided to go and check what's happening there. So he went up there. And when he went there, then he notices that on the tree that was bare, there was a blind snake. And Allah Ta'ala used this bird to transfer the risk of that blind snake. It was taking that date and putting it in the mouth of the snake. And that was the risk. Mm. So when he came down from the tree, he said, Ya Allah, what is this? He says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed that the snake must be killed. But when that same snake became blind, then you use the bird to transfer and provide the risk of that particular snake. Mm. And he says, we are human beings. We are the ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Mm. And yet we are robbing people. So he made tawbah. And the whole jamaat made tawbah. When they made tawbah, they broke all those swords, whatever they had, they broke whatever they had. And then they said, now we're going for Umrah. We're going to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So they left for Umrah. It is mentioned they traveled for 3 days. After 3 days' travel, they reached a particular town. And there was a lady that was calling out there. She was saying, "Is there anyone here from the Kurdi tribe? Is there anyone here from the Kurdi tribe?" So this person went up. He said, "Yes, I'm from the Kurdi tribe." So she says, 3 days ago, exactly when they made Tawbah and they broke all the instruments, whatever they had, she said, "My son passed away." And he said that there's no other inheritors except me. So she saw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi in a dream, says that all the wealth that this person had, his clothing and whatever it is, give it to this person from the Kurdi tribe. Mm. This is how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provides for a person. So when a person is saying that there is no deity except Allah, Allah Ta'ala is alone in his zat, in his sifat. So here our attention should go towards Allah Ta'ala for protection. In our country we have a problem with protection. How much our focus goes to everything else, but last it goes to Allah Ta'ala. Whereas first it's supposed to be on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was born, in that year, Fir'aun had given the decree that in that year the boys must be killed. 1 year he used to kill the boys, 1 year he used to leave them alive. Because if he killed them every year, there wouldn't be anyone to service them. So in that year he decreed that the boys must be killed. So it is mentioned, Fir'aun, he had killed 80,000 children. According to some, they say 80,000 children. For no reason, little infants, babies. So in every residential area he had the army. And he had midwives. When a child is born, the midwife will go in. She'll check. And then she'll come out and she'll give a letter, a little note to the army. Whether it's a boy, whether it's a girl. If it's a boy, he must be killed. Mm. So when Musa al-Islam was born, the midwife went in and the child was born. Allah Ta'ala has kept this quality in Musa al-Islam that anybody looked in the eye of Musa al-Islam, he fell in love with Musa al-Islam. This was the quality in Musa. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah has also written this in Kashkol and Marifat. That anyone that looked into the eye of Musa al-Islam, he fell in love. She fell in love with this child. When she came out, I cannot recall whether she wrote that the child has passed away or a girl has been born. I don't know what she wrote. But anyway, she handed this page over, this paper over to the army. But it was in favor of Musa al-Islam and the family. So anyway, she went away. But they doubted. These people, they doubted. So they decided that, no, we want to go in and check. So they went in to check. When they went in, this child was in the hand of the sister of Musa alayhi salam. So when they saw the army came in, they all became uneasy, restless. So in the panic, she took this child and threw it into the fire. So the army, they came in, they checked for the soldiers, checked for the child, no child here. So they went out. Now after they had gone out, when they came back to their senses, so they said, "Where's the child?" So then the sister remembered that she threw the child into the fire. They went and checked. Perfect. Hmm. Allah Ta'ala protected the child in the fire. Now that is the protection and hifazat of Allah Ta'ala. When that child was born, Allah Ta'ala says, "Wa'uhayna ila ummi Musa an arbi'i." We inspired the mother of Musa alayhi salam, just feed the child. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. When you fear the life of the child, just take the child and put the child into the river. وَلَا تَقَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Don't fear, don't even grieve. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكَ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Quran says, we will return this child to you. And we will make him amongst the Anbiya alayhimus salam. In another place Allah says, أَنِقْذِ فِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ. Take this child and put him into the box. فَقْذِ فِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ. Take the box and put the box into the river. فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ. The river will take this box onto the shores. فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ. يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, who's going to pick him up on the shores? My enemy and his enemy is going to pick him up. But in spite of this, we will make him a Nabi and we will protect him. And Fir'aun and his wife picked them up. And what does he say? وَقَالَتْ إِمْرَاتُ فِرْعَوْنَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكَ. She told Fir'aun, he's going to be the coolness of my eyes. He's going to be the coolness of your eyes, O Fir'aun. لَا تَقْتُلُوا. Don't kill the child. Fir'aun didn't have children. He said, don't kill him. عَسَىٰ أَيَّنْ فَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Perhaps this child will bring benefit to us. Or we will take him as a son. We don't have a child. But they didn't know that who they are taking, this is the same person at whose hand the kingdom of Musa of Fir'aun is going to come to an end. So when a person recites the Tawheed in the oneness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, then this is what should remain with a person even after Salah. Mala Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah says, although we will say shirk, we don't want to hear about shirk. Mala Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah used to give an example, he used to say, if a person brings an idol and he puts the idol in the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah, masjid is full. Person came in with the idol, what we'll do? We'll break that idol, smash that idol, throw this person out of the masjid. Kufr, you bring it in the masjid. Mustafa Palampuri Rahmatullah used to say, a person, that same idol, but the idol is made of gold, gold idol. He brings it to the masjid, he cannot accept it, we will not tolerate it. But he takes the same idol now, and that same idol, what does he do? He makes Krugerrands. And he says that this Kruger Rain will fulfill your need.
What everyone will say? Abad is right. The Kruger Rain.
That same idol of gold, there we said don't ask from the idol. The idol cannot fulfill your need. Here when we convert into Kruger Rain, we said the Kruger Rain can convert, it can fulfill your need. Where is our yaqeen? Is Allah Ta'ala fulfilling the need or the Kruger Rain fulfilling our need? So this is the tawheed that is required, which we are saying in the end of Salah, that I bear witness there is no deity except Allah. And Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a messenger of Allah. We'll continue from inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us the prayer.